Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. I want to read, starting in verse 34, and let's read down to the end of that chapter, all right? Starting in verse 34, reading through verse 38. The Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." In other words, you can't earn your way to heaven. All right? You can't merit your way to heaven. All right? Verse 35 says, "But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." All right, I want you to focus for just a few minutes this morning on verse 36. And verse 36 tells us, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the music and how it's prepared our hearts to receive your word. And Father, I pray that you will bless the message this morning. I need your help as I speak. And Father, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit of God will meet with us. And that, Father, it will not be just words that I say, but it'll be words that are powered by the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. So, Father, speak to our hearts today. I pray that each and every one of us will give attention to what thus saith the Lord this morning. And, Father, may it work in our hearts to draw us into a closer relationship with you. And, Father, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. Now bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In these last five verses of Mark chapter 8, we find an interesting discussion about a man's soul, your soul. I have taught you through the years about the soul of man and how important the soul of a man is. When I say of a man, I mean a man or a woman. By the way, there are two genders. All right? That's what God says. Male and female created he them. All right? So let's keep that in mind. But everybody has a soul. Let me put it this way. Every one of you is a soul. It's not that you have a soul. You are a soul. That's who you are. I always like to understand this by thinking this way. The Bible teaches us that God, our God is three yet one. All right, that's what 1 John 5 tells us. He is three yet one. He is Father, he is Son, and he is the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. All right? I have told you and several times through the years that when you get to heaven, you're going to say, now, where's God? Because you're not going to see God. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God is spirit. You cannot see a spirit. And then there is the Holy Spirit. All right? And you're not going to see the Holy Spirit. You say, well, then if I get to heaven or when I get to heaven, who am I going to see? Jesus. Amen. He is the only one of the three who has a physical body. All right, did everybody see that? Okay, I see steam coming out of some of your ears here. Say what now? Yeah, think about it. All right, so God created man in his own image. That's what the book of Genesis tells us. And so while that little statement means many things, it primarily means that God made man in the image of himself. All right, so what's that mean? Well, we are three, yet one. You only see one part, and that's our body. This thing that is standing before you, I know probably a bunch of you are going, what's wrong with your forehead? I had skin cancer removed right there. All right, so the best thing to do is just don't look at it, all right? don't look at this. And it hurt. But anyway, I digress. We are three, yet one. You're looking at my body. All right, that's how I relate to you, is through this body. Now, there is this one thing about the body that is consistent with all of us. All of us has a body, okay? It is born, it grows physically, it grows mentally, hopefully it continues to grow and physically get stronger and all that. And then one of these days, if all goes well, it will grow old and will eventually die. You say, well, that's not very promising. No, but that's the way it is. One thing's for sure, we know that every man who is born eventually dies. All right, there's only going to be one generation who will not have to suffer death, and that is the generation of believers who are on the earth when the Lord Jesus comes back at the rapture of the church. Amen. Now, how many of you want to be in that group? Raise your hand. Yes, I thought so. Me too. All right, so you have the body, and the body eventually dies. So what's that tell us? Well, that tells us that the body is not eternal. It dies. It has a beginning and it has an ending. And our body is not eternal. It will eventually go back to the dust. Eventually, it will go back to the earth, which God used in the beginning to create man. Then second, each of us is, present tense, each of us is a soul. All right? You are a body, but you inside your body lives your soul. Now, what is your soul? Well, the Bible tells us that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That is who you are. It's your mind, it's your will, your volition, and then it is the mind, the will, and the emotions, what you feel. All right? That's you as a person. Now, according to the Bible, and I say this in from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, that when describing how God created man, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Now, I did research years ago. Matter of fact, while I was still in college for a paper, but I did research on that word "living," and the word "living" has the connotation that once God breathed life into Adam, man became an eternal soul, living eternal soul. So this body one day will die. But the soul, the second part of your makeup, is eternal. And the soul of man never dies. And understand this, folks, the soul is the real you. It's who you are. As a person, it is who you are. And then we have a third part of our makeup, and that is our spirit. Now, the soul lives in the body, and the spirit of man lives in the soul. And the Bible says that before you and I were saved, our spirit was dead. We were dead. I said a moment ago, the body is how you and I relate to each other, all right? The soul is how we communicate heart to heart, mind to mind with each other. But the spirit is how we communicate with God. You see the difference there? All right? And so before we are saved, our spirit is dead. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." Now, you know what quickened means. It means to be made alive. If you don't believe that, right underneath your fingernail, they call that the quick. All right, so go get a toothpick and jam it in there, and you'll find out real quick it's alive in there. Yeah, it'll let you know, won't it? All right, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, that's the amazing thing about our salvation. The moment that I trust Christ as my personal Savior, my spirit is quickened, made alive, and I now can have a relationship with my God. That's amazing, isn't it? And that's what our salvation does for us. So we trust Christ as our Savior, and our spirit is quickened, which enables us then to communicate with God. So the spirit is our God awareness, all right? Our body is our physical awareness. Our soul is our personal awareness. The spirit is our God awareness. And that's how God made us. Three, yet one. All right? So what I said all that to make this point. Here's the point. The soul of man is eternal. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was known for all these little one-liners that would stick in your brain. And one of his sayings was this: You must, listen to me now, you must live somewhere forever. All right? You must. You must live somewhere forever. That soul that is in you is going to have an eternity out in front of you after you're dead. After your body says, I'm done. Then your soul, the real you, goes on and lives forever. Isn't that amazing? Boy, how God designed this wonderful plan that he calls our salvation. Now, Christ and the Bible put the emphasis upon the soul of man. You remember that the Apostle Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. All right? Don't get me wrong. It does profit, but it profiteth little. That's why I don't exercise. No, I'm joking. I walk up and down the driveway every day to get the mail. I get down good. It's going back up. That's the hard part. Yeah. My doctor asked me a couple weeks ago when I was there, he said, do you exercise? I said, look at me. Do you think I exercise? Yeah, he didn't laugh. But but the Bible puts the emphasis on the soul of man. The soul of man. That's important. The soul is the real you. And this is a spiritual emphasis, folks. Education usually doesn't do this. Religion, which does not do this, is nothing more than fraudulent. It's just a salve to make you feel better. In many people, until they are really overweight, they neglect their bodies, all right? But then when the doctor says, you better take care of yourself, you're headed down the road of a heart attack, then all of a sudden you get interested in living. Yeah, but you're not going to live forever. I mean, you can eat sticks and twigs and bark for the rest of your life, you know? And you can eat all that stuff walk 10 miles a day and drink nothing but water and filtered water at that. You don't want to drink this. You'll turn into an iron peg one day if you drink Carroll County water. There's more iron in that water than there is in a railroad tie. All right, but look at verse 36. Verse 36 speaks of two important truths related to the soul that we should know and understand. Now, let me give them to you. First of all, the first truth is the profit for man. Look at verse 36 again. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So first, there is a truth here, and that truth is concerning the profit for a man. You see, the Lord Jesus asked this question, for what shall it profit a man? Profit is a big word for those involved in making money, in business. And if a business does not make an adequate profit on their sales or whatever services, then they will find themselves eventually running out of money, and the company will be unable to pay their bills, their rent, or their mortgage, or their overhead, or their employees. And then the next thing you know, that company is belly up. and the business will have to close its doors. You see, it takes a great deal of financial wisdom to run a business and to keep that business profitable. I have known folks who seem to have that that Midas touch. You know, you remember from Greek mythology, King Midas was a famous king in Greek mythology. It's not a real king, but it was all their mythology, their gods that they made up, small g, and he was famous for his golden touch. Everything that he touched turned into gold. Now, you know, he touched his daughter. That didn't work out too good. Yeah, she turned to gold. You know, mid-movement, you know. He would touch his food, and his food would turn into gold. Everything he touched turned into gold. And, of course, the moral of the story was, you know, gold can be a blessing, sure, but it can also be a curse. Money can be a curse. Yeah, it sure can. So I've known folks, though, who had that proverbial Midas touch. I've known folks who have that kind of business mind, and they just seem to know how turn everything that they have, their business, into a financial profit. And you know, our world today is quick to build up a financial profit. Everybody realizes that you have to be profitable. Everybody realizes that. But what about the building of a spiritual profit? You see, do we recognize the importance of a spiritual profit? And so Jesus asked the question here in verse 36, for what shall it profit a man? Now, he's not talking about you building up a financial empire here. He's not talking about you becoming so physically fit that, you know, everybody that looks at you says, wow, man, he's in good shape or she's in good shape. Well, that's all well and good, but what's it going to profit you in eternity? You see, we are eternal beings. And what if you had all the gold in the world? What good's it going to do you? You can't take it with you. When I was pastoring out in Illinois before we came here, I told you all about that Outlaws motorcycle gang member that his wife started coming to our church, and then she would take my CDs home and play them once she got him in his chair. The guy was 6'8", and he weighed about 400 pounds. I mean, he was swollen because of his heart not working. And his heart wasn't working because of all the drugs that he abused. And he was an enforcer for the Chicago area Outlaws motorcycle gang. So he was not a nice person. But he started listening to the sermons that I was preaching in our church out there. And he got under conviction. And so he told her he wanted to go to church and get saved. Well, she about fell over. And so she called me and said, he's coming tonight to church. He wants to get saved. And then he's afraid he's not going to be able to live long enough to get baptized. So if he gets saved tonight, can he get baptized tonight? And I said, well, sure. So he came and he got saved, and then we baptized him. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But when he died about a month later, when he passed away, so it's a good thing he did get saved when he did, and it was a good thing he did get baptized the night he got saved. But anyway, when we went to the funeral home, they had a casket all laid out, and his wife said, I'm going to stand here by the casket. And she had just stacks of gospel tracts that she had taken from the church, and she said, I'm going to witness to everybody who comes by, all of his heathen animal friends. And I said, great. So she said, but I need you to stand here with me. Gee, thanks. Yeah. So, no, I was glad too. So they would come by, those guys would come by and put garbage. I'm talking about cigarettes, liquor, pornography, X-rated videos, you name it, all put them in his casket. And they would do it stealthily, you know. I mean, it wasn't like they were, you know, basically just, you know, going in and tossing stuff in. No, they were. But soon it started to fill up. And Linda turned and looked at me and she said, they have no idea, do they? And I said, about what? She said, they have no idea that Ken does not need those things. He can't take them to heaven with him. You know, it's like King Tut. When they found King Tut's grave, they had everything in that grave for him in the afterlife. They had big things of olive oil. They had a chariot that was disassembled and all the pieces laying together and a little diagram on how to put that thing together. Yeah, like he's going to need it. They put two horses in there. When they found the tomb back in the 1800s, I think, early 1900s at best, when they found the tomb and went in and lit it all up, of course, the horses were skeletons. You can't take them with you. You couldn't take the chariot with you. You couldn't take the bags of grain with you. You see, you can't take anything with you to heaven, wait a minute, except your family. You can take your children. Yeah. That's why the Bible calls the father the high priest of the family. See, it's your responsibility, Dad, to make sure that your children know how to be saved from their sin. Yeah. And business, you can't take that with you. Can't take your money with you. None of it. So the Lord Jesus says that we best not neglect making a spiritual profit. All right? Don't neglect making a spiritual profit. Our world today is quick to build up a financial profit. Everybody wants that nest egg, and I understand that, so do I. Everyone realizes that they have to be profitable in their lives. But Jesus says your spiritual profit's more important. Now let me show you this from the Bible. There's a parable that the Lord spoke, and he tells about a rich farmer who had a very good harvest, an abundant harvest, and he was set to make a huge profit. And the fella decided that he didn't have enough room to store what his a ground produced for him that year. So he decided to build bigger buildings and sufficient enough to store the abundant record crop the soil produced for him in that year. And he did it, and he got everything stored up, and he was so happy with himself. And Jesus went on to tell how then that evening that fella decided that he was going to have a celebration. He was going to have a party. And he was going to invite all of his friends and all of his servants, and they were just going to drink it up and celebrate all through the night. And the Lord Jesus said of that rich man, Jesus said he was a fool. Do you hear that? The Lord Jesus said that the man was a fool. Jesus called him a fool because he only thought of profit in terms of earthly things and fleshly pleasures. And Jesus said, that man's a fool. This fool did not stop for one second to consider the spiritual, the eternal side of his life. And my friends, listen, that is what you're going to heaven in, your soul. But you can't take any of what we just lose ourselves in down here trying to build up. You can't take your money with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take your boat with you. You just, your property in the mountains, your property at the beach, you can't take it with you. But we invest ourselves in the nasty now, and we don't stop to think about the sweet by and by. And the Lord Jesus said, this man is a fool. His mindset was this: live for now, live for today. He did not care at all about the future, about eternity. And this is how so many folks in our world today think. We are only considering now. And we ought to be thinking about eternal. I've had folks say to me, well, I'll get saved one of these days before I die. But right now, I'm just so busy. I don't have time for the Lord. And I always respond, if you don't have time for the Lord, if you're too busy for the Lord, then plain and simple, you're just too busy. Because God did not put us on this planet to make a fortune. God put us down here on this planet to serve him. And if we will seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto us. But the world can't see that. They can't see beyond today. But Jesus said this man was a fool. So you have a gazillion dollars in the bank. So you've made so much money, you don't know how you could ever spend it all. So you have built new barns and buildings to house all of your physical blessings from God. That's wonderful. But do you realize that you can't take any of that stuff with you into eternity? Oh my, you better make sure that you're ready, your soul is ready to go out into eternity. What if you made all the money in the world and you were the richest person in the world, and then you died and your eternal soul was buried in the ground? What good did all of that profit merit you if you went to hell because you weren't saved? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? It's no wonder the Lord Jesus calls this man a fool. It is the ultimate foolishness to live a life 70 and however many more God gives you after that, and amass a huge physical profit, but then die spiritually bankrupt. Oh, how terrible that would be. Second thing I want you to see here, let's notice the peril for man. I said, first of all, let's notice the profit for man. But then secondly, notice the peril for man. The peril for man is that he should live a life without getting saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, as Jesus said here in verse 36, lose his own soul. That's the peril. The peril for anyone is the danger of losing your own soul. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Losing your own soul would be the absolute worst thing that could happen to anybody. Anybody. To lose your own soul simply means that you would live your life here and then your body would die, but your never dying soul would then go out into eternity in hell. That's a thought, isn't it? You say, man, I don't like to think about that, Pastor. Probably be a good idea for you to think about it. Because that day is coming for all of us. When I was preparing this sermon, I thought 70. Three score and ten. I'm one in the good. You know? I'm one in the good. 70. Now, I never was good at math, but that's 70, right? Yeah. Yeah, and I got one year in the good. So, that's sobering, isn't it? I thought, good grief, I just graduated from high school the other day. You know? Funny how that works, isn't it? And this is the greatest loss any person could ever have happened to them. I mean, imagine, folks, just imagine you live on this earth for 90 long, fruitful years. Your house is paid for. You got plenty of money. Your assets are so multiplied, you cannot even count how much you are worth on paper. And then, boom, it's coming. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but one of these days, there's going to be a little announcement in the bulletin here that says to pray for your family at your homegoing. It's coming. The question is your soul ready? And if it's not, then you need the Lord as your Savior. I mean, our text verse says this loss cannot be and will not be compensated for even if you gain the entire world. All right, look at the verse again, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, let's think about that for just a moment. What if you gained the whole world? I mean, the whole world. What's that mean? Well, that means, let's suppose that you gained all the wealth and value of the entire world. That is a number, by the way, that is incalculable. All the gold. You know, gold is $4,000 an ounce now. Those of you who bought gold back in the day when it was $800 an ounce, mercy, you're sitting on a gold mine, literally. No pun intended. All the silver, all the coal, all the oil, all the natural gas. I mean, if you had all that was reduced to dollars, if you had it all. I mean, the world is all of its wealth in dollars and cents. I mean, if you had it all, it would still not be able to compensate for the loss of your eternal soul. Your family could not say, God, we're going to write you a check. God will write you a check if you get him out of hell. No, it doesn't work that way. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You just must be. You just must be. You must be born again. You see, once a person goes out into eternity, the decision you made in life is the decision that you live with for eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven for eternity. I often sit around and think, wonder what kind of fish are in that river of life. Am I going to be able to go fishing? I hope so, brother. I mean, heaven or hell? Well, let's see. No, it's heaven. I want heaven, don't you? But there's only one way to get there, and that's through Christ. No one has ever gained the whole world. Although we have, all of us, gained a little bit, a little part of the world. All of us have gained a little bit of wealth, meaning we have our earthly possessions, which we paid for with our wealth, with our money, all right? So we all have a little something, but there are folks, and I'm thinking now about many folks, many wealthy people who are now living for eternity in the flames of an eternal hell. And in their lifetime, they were famous, they were idolized, they were loved and adored and even worshiped in some cases. But what good's it done them? See, you live your whole life for now and don't prepare for eternity. Preparation for heaven must be made on this side of the grave, folks. When I pastored down in West Virginia, there was a fella who did not come to our church, but some of his nephews did, and their families. And this fella was, he was in his upper 80s, and he had a ton of money. He had this big, beautiful home paid for, sitting on several acres. He had all kinds of vehicles. He had a two-car garage on his house, and then he had another three-car garage built on the side of his house. And there was always a car, it seemed, in all the stalls of that garage. I mean, this fella had it all. And one of the sons told me about his situation, that he had gotten news that he wasn't going to live very long. And so the son asked me if I would stop by the hospital and see if I could win him to Christ. So I did. I stopped by and tried my best to lead him to the Lord, but he just could not see, just could not grasp the fact that he was a sinner who needed a Savior. I mean, he kept saying, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I said, sir, there is none that is good. No, not one. Showed him the Bible verses. Well, you know, and he was a member of the Masonic Lodge, you know, up high up in that foolishness. And so he thought that was good enough. He said, I'm good. I think I'm good. And I said, well, I don't think you're good. And I can show you plenty of Bible. And he said, well, I appreciate that, Pastor, but I believe I'm good. And I could not get him to see his need for the Lord. And as far as I know, that fella died lost. And after they had the funeral and buried him in the ground, I knew where the grave was. I did not do the funeral, but I went to the funeral, and I went down to the cemetery. I knew where it was, right along the road, right along Route 60. And I knew where they buried him. And I would often drive by that cemetery where he was buried and think of him telling me that he was a good fellow. Oh, I'm not that bad of a person. I just don't know that I need anybody to save me. I'm a pretty good guy. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven, he would say. But I knew he wasn't good enough. None of us are. And I sat on the side of that hospital bed with him that evening, and I showed him Mark chapter 8, verse 36. I showed him that verse. And it's almost begging, because I knew he wasn't going to last long, but almost begging him, I told him he needs to get saved. And he said, well, I'm just going to take my chances. And every time I would go by there, I'd look over. You know, there was not one pickup truck sitting on that grave. Can't take it with you. There was no safe over there anchored to a concrete pillar. No. Can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. And I thought, if he in this life had somehow been able to gain the whole world. And remember, John said, all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I mean, just imagine it now, folks. If you had everything your eyes looked at, everything that when you looked at it, you wanted it. If you had everything that your flesh desired, that your old nature would see and you decided, I want that. If you had all the things in this life that would be able to make you, in your mind, special, it would not be sufficient to compensate for the loss of your eternal, never-dying soul. You could take the whole world and say, God, look what I have. Look what I've got, God. If I give you this, you'll take me out of hell, won't you? And you know how the Lord always answers? He always answers with the Bible. And he would say, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. All right, nobody looking. This is just between you, me, and God. But let me ask you a personal question. How many of you will say, preacher, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. You raise your hand and testify to that. Say, preacher, I know. There's no doubt about it. I know I'm saved. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. All right. Now let me ask this question. Is there anyone here today who would say, pastor, I'm not 100% sure. I know I need to be. I need the Lord to save me. I know this, I certainly do not want to die and have my eternal soul sent to hell. I do not want that. So, Pastor, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you, just lift your hand where I can see it. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Yes. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I just don't know for sure. Anybody else? All right, Father in heaven, thank you so much for speaking to our hearts today. And we are so thankful that the scriptures are clear. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, help us to realize that as a sinner, we need a Savior. And we're not saved by osmosis. We can't come into the church and just absorb salvation. It's not how it works. And so, Father, I pray that folks will realize the need to call upon you and to ask you to save them from a devil's hell. So, Father, speak to hearts this morning. I pray for these who raised their hand. Father, give them boldness and the courage to step out and to come and say, somebody take a Bible and show me how I can go to heaven. So, Father, do your office work here in our hearts today. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.